My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. All good. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Bulldog just noticed that his headphones, the ear pieces are different sizes, right?
Yes.
Maybe your ears are different sizes.
And not by just a little either. It's, you know, I mean, it's not insane, but it's odd to me that they're not the same size. I do wear them crooked. I don't know, is that did that alter the size of them? I don't, because I leave it sort of half off my one ear and fully on the other.
I can't explain it.
I don't know, it's very strange.
It doesn't look like the kind of device where one side would wear away,
right?
You know, where just like the foam on one side has sort of disappeared over the years. Why would that be? But is there a better explanation for why they're different?
I'm gonna have to go to social media with a picture of this, I think, to demonstrate exactly what's happening. That'll fix everything. Get suggestions on what happened to these earphones. Why one ear is smaller than the other?
Yes. Football Friday on WGR. We are back. Week one. Hold on.
I wasn't done talking about my headphones.
You have 3 hours and 55 minutes longer to fit that in. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. What'd you think of last night?
Is it too cliche to say we're back? I mean, it's funny, like halfway through the game, maybe into the third quarter, I'm watching with my oldest son, and he's like, "What is with the refs?" And I said, I think it's always like this. It's just been, you know, it's been many months since we have sat with a game. It's not, you know, so I think it's probably just par for the course. But we had the refs with the alignment stuff and the, you know, the weird flags. You got the big review at the end. You've got the MVP missing throws that could have won the game before the play that got overruled. And then Like, in between, you had Xavier Worthy ruining all our lives. My cup was overflowing last night, I would
Wasn't
say.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah.
All of it?
Like, it was...
It's a great TV
you
show.
You felt very alive, I think.
It's such a good TV
because
show.
Because there's anger and frustration and... you know, I mean, whatever, depending on what you were gambling on, if you were, maybe that's different, but, it had, I don't want to say everything, but it had a lot.
Was the illegal formation stuff a ref's problem or a Ravens problem?
That's a good question. Because, you know, we don't get to see every angle of everything. It looked like the Chiefs guys were also doing it, but never getting called, and then you've got the right tackle for the Chiefs that already had a reputation from last year's opener for leaving early on the snap, and that still never gets flagged and probably never will be. I don't know if everyone in the league shouldn't start doing that, but...
He was the most penalized player in the NFL, Juwan Taylor.
Okay.
And he had two last night. One of them, they show Mahomes before the referee announces the penalty, and he's like, oh, 74? I could read his lips. 74, but that, and then he was correct. It was on 74.
I'd say the only thing we were deprived of was Harbaugh going for two. The Ravens going for two. It definitely looked like. I mean, I think we saw
he
him plainly indicating go for two, and they talked like that on the broadcast before they realized, oh, the toe was out, and that would have been awesome.
Yeah, you knew he would have.
Yeah,
right. The whole time he was going to go for two.
Yeah, I think so. But you never know for sure until you get there. But yes, the overtime, I see, here's a problem with your sport. If you have different rules, I think, for the regular season and for the playoffs. In the regular season, it's a coin flip, and Casey could win the toss and score just like they did against the Bills in 13 seconds, and the game's over. They've changed that for the playoffs now, but not the regular season. Do you know this? Because I got in bed last night, and I thought...
The Bills and the Eagles... The game went to overtime 31-31.
Right.
The Bills kicked a field goal after the miss to Davis, and then the Eagles scored a touchdown and won.
Okay, thank you.
So everybody gets one possession.
Okay.
Which can mean or should mean more ties because it's only 10 minutes.
All right.
And now we're back to yesterday.
As that unfolded, thinking about Harbaugh not getting the opportunity to go for two, I was thinking, is that because the rules are still like they were before, or is that...
Is there any team in history you'd rather not have to stop on a two-point conversion than a Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry backfield team?
Right.
They should always go for two.
Yeah.
It was a great game.
Even though it was pretty cool watching the Ravens trying to drive to tie the game or win the game with Derrick Henry standing on the sidelines.
Right.
Thanks for getting the big famous running back. Exactly what is it going to do for you? I don't know. The game's on the line and he's irrelevant.
You know, that's not that surprising, I think. When they're losing, that's going to be, even with Tennessee, that was how it went when it came to Derrick Henry. One problem the Ravens had is they had used two timeouts before that last drive. So even Jackson running, you're first and 10 or 11, you're first and goal basically from the 10-yard line with 19 seconds, and they have no timeouts. So Jackson wouldn't run. I mean, he just stayed in the pocket for all three of those plays and still could have had it. But, man, that's very different defensively when you can kind of assume they're not going to run the ball because that's the game, especially by second down. The first down play took so long. They get the pass to Bateman on the sideline and hurry up. So now they're first and goal. If it wasn't first and goal, it's first and 10 from the 11. But either way, now they're first and goal, game on the line, down 7, 19 seconds. And 19 seconds when they snap the ball. And it just, Jackson was just so deliberate there.
9 seconds that play took.
9 seconds. He goes to Likely in the corner, you know, kind of floats it. And then Likely goes down behind the end zone. Looks like he's badly injured. You know, he kind of looks like he's sort of writhing in pain. One play later, he's back in, and he's the player, of course. He's the target on the last play.
I love the explanation about the injury stoppage there from Terry McCauley. Like, what do we do here? They're out of timeouts. Would there be a runoff? Like, no, we really just pretend it didn't happen. He didn't say that, but that's basically, in effect, what he told you.
You do it again, it's 5 yards.
Right, he did say that.
If you have second injury after you got a timeouts, it's 5 yards. But do you come away from that? It was a great game. I mean, both of these teams are as good as they've been, right? Like,
yeah.
The Chiefs get there. The Ravens were so good.
It was really good.
They had trouble up front.
Yeah. Yeah. I it seemed to me like Kansas City was going to run away. By run away, I just mean like make it a two-score game and just sort of squat on it, right? But so I give the Ravens a lot of credit for, you know, I mean, they got that field goal and they were in a position to tie or win the game at the end. And I don't know, somewhere in the third quarter, I thought, oh, this game is on cruise control.
First play of the fourth, Baltimore ball midfield down 20-10, and that's a 50-yard touchdown pass. Right. So, like,
right.
It could have felt that way, but first play of the fourth quarter, like, now it's a field goal game. The Chiefs also, the last offensive play they ran is that third down play where Mahomes has his pass tipped and he catches it, which is a great play. Like, that's the ball is in the air. That's the break you've been waiting all night for if you're Baltimore to be able to sort of take the ball away here. And then who knows if they win, but they have much more time, great field position to try and score. But Mahomes catches that pass and, you know, is tackled, so the clock runs down to 2 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder, did you see or hear if he was asked about that? Like, what was – because I'd love to know if that was just, there's the ball, instinct, catch it. Or did he think about just knocking it down so nobody could get it so he wouldn't get intercepted? Of course, the knocking it down would have caused the clock to stop. I just wonder, in the moment, was he thinking, like, I should try to catch this and keep the clock rolling?
He probably was. I don't know what he said.
It actually worked out really well for them that he did make that play and catch it, because that could have been more time for them. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, the guys were open enough on the plays that Baltimore missed on at the end, so it's not like time ruined them, but more time would have been good.
No, they had just enough.
Right.
But still, like, a timeout there would have opened up their playbook more. Man, the Ravens, they are such an enigma. They win constantly. They've lost in the playoffs. You know, here they are losing, and they don't cover, by the way, if you're interested in that, to Kansas City, last play of the game. It's right there. It feels at the same time that they can kind of do anything they want, but still, like, little things trip them up all through the game. The details, illegal formation three times on the first drive. One negates a 30 to 40 yard pass interference penalty that doesn't count because Ronnie Stanley.
Offsetting calls.
They still score a touchdown on that drive to start the game in like 8 minutes. Like, it's perfect. Without the penalty, even with the penalties, they still drive for that touchdown. It's just always like, Bill Barnwell tweeted about Jackson. He makes plays no one else can make.
Mm-hmm.
And he also misses plays everyone else can make.
Right.
And, I mean, sum total, that's an MVP player. Like, you want that. But it is maddening. The right. AFC Championship.
He doesn't always miss the easy plays, but he should. You'd like,
after
like
yesterday,
to clean that up. You know, like, it can. The mastery of the ordinary sometimes is, I mean, you really miss it if you can't get it, if you miss on too much of it. And I don't know, these plays at the end weren't exactly ordinary. I mean, he's got a running back blocking Chris Jones. I mean, he's got to kind of move around and try to find a safe space.
A small running back.
Yeah, right, exactly. I thought I would defend Jackson on the second to last play, the most, like, the likely play, a better throw, the first one, I mean, at the corner where likely gets hurt, a better throw. Like, guys make that throw, and he just overshot it. The one where Flowers is open and it looks egregious, I felt like watching the replay that is sort of from behind Jackson, there's a KC player that is just out of the screen, I think, when the play starts or as it's unfolding, and Jackson's sort of hopping to his right, and Flowers is drifting in that direction. And I feel like Jackson, now I know he said afterward he wasn't even throwing it to Flowers. He had something in mind for Bateman, who was to the left of that. But I thought Flowers moved out of the open area. Like, it was open to him, but line of sight, I thought there's a KC defender, like, initially, until I heard Jackson's explanation, I thought he was avoiding that pass getting batted down by someone who was maybe around the goal line or so.
Yeah, I could see that.
And
you want Flowers to squat there.
Yeah, you want him to recognize that he's running into traffic for his quarterback, not for him, but for his quarterback, and just stop in the wide open area, which is where Jackson ended up throwing the ball, coincidentally, I guess, if you buy Jackson's explanation of that, that he wasn't even targeting Flowers on the play.
You know, yesterday, it's very interesting to compare. We always compare the Bills to the Chiefs. You know, they've lost three playoff games to them in 4 years. What do the Chiefs get right that the Bills don't? What is there something or is there not? What is it? What can the Bills do about it? You know, is it Sean McDermott? Is it Josh Allen? Like, whatever. Whatever the thing is, we think in these three games, only two of which were close. Like, what? The Bills have beaten them 3 years in a row besides. Like, just is there something to quote, fix when it comes to Buffalo versus Kansas City? The Bills and the Ravens only, they don't have the meetings. They had the one playoff meeting in the COVID year that the Bills won, you know, 17-3. Like, that was a defensive game, super windy. I mean, great. But what, like, how do you compare Buffalo with Baltimore in sort of the Kansas City prism, I guess you could say?
I think we're living pretty parallel lives.
I think with the Ravens, it's even more frustrating because Jackson, I mean, Allen is this too, but they both can kind of do whatever they want. And then I think this I know is true. When it comes to the Ravens, the finger gets pointed at Jackson. And when it comes to the Bills, it gets pointed at McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coaching decisions. And I think, you know, that might be fair enough, right? Like, I'm a huge Jackson fan, but that might be fair enough. You need, when the Bills beat Baltimore in that comeback game a couple of years ago in Baltimore, there was this. I don't remember, like, the details of it. I just know the last Bills drive, on the heels of a poor interception in the end zone, the Ravens are first and goal in a tie. And they go forward on fourth, right? That you're not supposed to do that. Poyer makes the interception. The Bills end the game driving the field on a field goal. And Allen, it was just super smart. Like, he slides on the last play maybe, or Singletary does. And it just went perfectly with all this sort of game management type mm-hmm. stuff on that drive. And it's sort of ironic to me because the Ravens as an organization get all the credit for how they build their team. You know, they're like, they're not maybe quite the Eagles, but maybe they're next to the Eagles or just 1A, 1B for a franchise that always gets high marks everything they do.
That even extends to like previous, like Ozzie Newsome even, you know, as the GM for like, you know, decades ago, they always got this credit for being really savvy about building their team. They were not real buttoned up last night.
That, I think, is kind of normal. Like, they win anyway. Last year, they just blew out everybody. They blew out Seattle. They blew out Detroit. They just had almost like no pushback. They won in San Francisco pretty easily. Like, they just had such an easy season. But, you know, this is the playoffs. This is last night. This is just like the Bills game a couple years ago, certain times. And I'm just thinking about all this after watching last night and our conversations yesterday about close games. You know, we are 2 week one. Fans are bringing up the stuff that we tend to talk about during the, you know, the flow of the season, whether that's the Bills' record in close games. Is this a trap game? Should we necessarily defer on the opening kickoff if we win the coin toss? All the kind of the granular stuff. And I think this is sort of normal for the Ravens. You know, it'd be interesting to listen to their fans more often than I do, which I never do. But I just wonder if they sort of like accept Jackson. Jeremy Kahn, who we talked to out of there, is like this. They accept Jackson as this all-time great player, but you want there to be a little bit more either from him or around him that would help them figure out these close situations. Is last night the perfect example of this? Not necessarily. Make the throw. Come down in bounds.
Right.
You know, make the field goal or whatever. Like,
but
those kinds of things.
But the coach did burn two timeouts on defense in the third quarter. So, I mean, that stung.
Exactly.
The end of the half, I thought, was at least questionable. I mean, they got away with it, but there was, I wasn't like sitting there taking notes, but there was a moment, maybe 28, 30 seconds, somewhere around there, where they still had all three timeouts. And I just thought, like, you're definitely taking one here, and they didn't. And I don't know, they didn't end up being pressed for time, but I thought it was really tight. Maybe they did it perfectly because they were trying, I think, to leave Kansas City no time, right? So I don't want to do you a favor, take the timeout and leave you 30 seconds and end up kicking a field goal. So they did run it all the way down, but man, it was tight. I shouldn't have, you know.
I liked that.
They made it work, so I shouldn't really be pointing the finger at that necessarily.
Yeah, they did do what you said. Like, they did
they ran it right down to the end.
They
ran it down, yeah.
Last play of the half.
I was nervous about it for them, I guess I'm admitting. So what does that mean? Nothing, really. So I shouldn't even.
You wanted them to win.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. Although,
I did too.
I bet on the. Well, I mean, I had the. Whatever. In the picks, I had the Chiefs.
Already.
I had the Chiefs.
Already.
But I had the under. I ended up putting a parlay in, but I missed on the under.
Really? What was it?
46.5.
How do they know?
Right.
How do they know?
Right.
47. How do they know what's going to happen? That's obviously rigged. Here's David with us. Hello, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I just want to let you know, I really appreciate you guys. I live down in Charlotte now. I've lived down here for 15 years. And you would not believe the hours I've logged with you gentlemen. And you guys do a great job. Could you be more excited for our first game at home? How excited, how are you feeling about it?
There's some anxiety, I would say, but excited, sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the start of another season, and there's so much new here. I think that in itself is exciting in a different way than the last, say, three regular seasons have been, when they opened up with, I would say, as much as you can have some level of certainty about the quality of your team going into the season. I think we've had that for 3 years in a row. They're a Super Bowl contender. They've got these players on offense and on defense, and I like my chances to go be the number one seed. This year, I'm not thinking about the one seed. There's a lot of turnover. That, I think, makes Sunday at 1 o'clock even more interesting than any of the last 3 years in a way. Definitely excited and appreciate, you know, you listening in Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I hope you have a great weekend and go Bills.
Thank you, David. I'll give you 3 years that I can think of like right away that I know I was more excited.
Okay.
1991. Off of Super Bowl 25, Miami. Perfect day, amazing game. This is like, okay, this is a little bit like after 13 seconds, which is also on my list, 22, where we know they're great. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't know they're great. I don't think they're great right now. I'm not excited in the same way because I'm more concerned about the team overall than I have been for several years. 91, 22 at the Rams. You know, plus I was in Vegas that year, and there's the big party that we go to, you know, during fantasy drafts that FFPC puts on, where everybody just sort of hangs out in the big ballroom and watches.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Watches the game, and it's a Bills game, right? And so that was very exciting. And they kind of hammered the Rams. You know, they took the Super Bowl champions on their night and blasted them. That was pretty good. And I would say 2002, the Chad Morton game, because Bledsoe, season tickets for the first time. More excited. Yeah. I was more excited for that one, just personally. But, you know, kind of a new era for the Bills. They were in, the playoff drought 2 years in a row missing.
Yeah. 2002 never worked for me. I never liked Bledsoe, and I never bought into it. I never feared him when he was on New England, so the Bills trade for him. I'm like, great. I got a guy that's supposed to be really good. I don't know. He's not that good.
Let's put David's question to you, 803-0550. Are you as excited as ever for this opener? I don't know. It's we've talked about it all summer. Like, it's a little bit different this year, walking in. It's been an off season shrouded in mystery. Who will catch the ball? Who will start at safety? Who will call the plays? It's been more an off season of questions than what the last few have been like, which is like, all right, well, we got it. Just a matter of winning when it counts. And I think this year there's a little bit less certainty like that.
There definitely is. I think I roll it all together and still end up at I'm excited. Because the curiosity and the anxiety sort of pile in together. They're all in the same car, and like there's just a lot of energy there. It's not all positive, but there's a lot of energy. Like I'm popping.
It's a clown car.
Yeah.
Thanks, David. 803-0550, Football Friday. It's time for a break. We will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Adams, that gets you the 15. It wasn't inside the opening. This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown. Oh, man.
Your move, Keon Coleman. Xavier Worthy, 2 touchdowns.
Well, you know, they blocked it perfectly. Anyone could have scored that touchdown.
Yep.
Wide open, busted coverage. He didn't do anything.
Okay. Already right. Coping.
Okay.
The Bills are still 0-0, and Bulldog is already prepping the cope.
Yep.
Cope prep. Prep. Couldn't even say it.
Yep.
Cope prep.
We are so back.
Well,
I mean, the speed was undeniable there. I mean, I don't agree that anyone could have made that play. I mean, he hit his seam and just ran away from everyone. So, yeah, the blocking was expert on the play, sure. The other play, yeah, I'd say pretty much anybody could have made that play.
We could make ourselves crazy with this.
Oh, I intend to.
Quarterbacks already give you as much material as you could possibly want. just the individual comparisons in a team sport. Lamar Jackson is perfect. Allen, Mahomes, all of it. It's always just, we might not even be here if it weren't so interesting to talk about quarterbacks and just all the different ways to compare players, even not even contemporaries at that position. It's really fun. This is going to be a form of that because it's different styles. Of course, it's the trade. It starts with the trade. If Kansas City had picked Worthy before the Bills, it might still be, or just after. It might, because that would have been possible.
Sure, the Bills could have picked Keon Coleman at 28 and not gotten paid off for moving down and getting him later, and the Chiefs could have stayed where they were and picked him.
At the very least, the Bills, we know, there's a lot we might not know, but at the very least, we know the Bills did not see Xavier Worthy as a tier above Coleman and maybe several other wide receivers in the draft. McConkey, Leggett, Pearsall, Polk, Mitchell, who knows? There were so many guys. The fact that there were so many generally evenly compared prospects made it fine for me that they did what they did, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. Worthy was consensus tops on that list, but not everybody's top guy at that time. And, you know, this is what you should do if you think you have a handful of players, however many, that are comparable, not to mention, like, style differences that you want. Who knows what Josh Allen thought of Xavier Worthy? Because we always hear after the draft that Josh Allen liked the guy. You know, maybe that isn't irrelevant. So you can go on forever on Worthy and Coleman and all of it. But as we talked about the other day and have mentioned many times in the offseason, the pressure is going to be on Coleman with Worthy going to the perfect team, a team that has room for him. How did I lose that pick'em? Did you see my pick'em that I lost?
No,
on Underdog, I tweeted it.
I didn't see it.
Over on Jackson passing, won easily. I mean, not until the last drive, but one had it. Over on Flowers, catches, had it. Under on Henry, that was pretty much easy.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Worthy receptions. He scores two touchdowns and I lose. Three and a half.
And he only catch that one ball? The touchdown
maybe
ball?
I think you might have been two,
yeah,
but it wasn't more than two.
All right.
Well, and the first touchdown was on a rush. I mean, that's tough.
Did I mention to you that I lost a parlay on a half a point? So I mean, I feel you.
Yes.
I definitely feel you. I do. I feel you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it I don't need to relitigate the entire thing because I've always been sort of torn about the whole thing. On one hand, I admire Bean I want the person running my team to have conviction and believe what they believe to be the truth and have chosen their guys and their process and not worry. The New York Giants are calling. The Baltimore Ravens are calling. The Atlanta Falcons are calling. The Kansas City Chiefs are calling. Treat it all the same. You have your convictions about the prospects, so do what you need to do. But I would not be such a person. I am incapable of that. The Chiefs call me, I would block their number. I just wouldn't want to talk to them. The last time I traded at the draft with them, they got Patrick Mahomes. Why do I want to dance with you again? And so Worthy, fastest guy in the draft. Yeah, I wonder if Andy Reid can make that work. Well, I know. It's one game, and it was perfectly blocked, and it was a busted coverage and whatever. But it feels like the perfect spot for that guy.
The Chiefs seem a near lock to win the AFC West for what would be a ninth consecutive year. New England got to 11 in the AFC East before, I guess it was between Miami and the Bills, I think. But anyway, they got to 11 straight. Kansas City is at 8 straight. The Bills are at 4. And, I mean, they just look like they could run away with that division. Many are saying, like, this is possibly their best team yet. And, you know, they did not have an easy night against another excellent team, but I could see it.
The parts look really nice. Like what they did to get Rashee Rice on a linebacker a lot of the night, you know, Worthy's contribution. Of course, you know about Kelsey. I just think that and Hollywood Brown didn't even play. Like he'll be back soon. That passing game, I think, is back.
Here's Dennis with us. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to bring up, while you were talking about some comparisons, and I just want to lay this out there, too, that I know that there's nothing we're ever going to be able to do to avoid it, because it's going to be with Josh for the rest of his career, and I just get it. But I just wanted to vent a little about the fact that, you know, after the game, I was listening to, I watched SportsCenter with Van Pelt, and I forgot who the other guy is, Damian Woody? But they're on after the game, and they're just praising Lamar at how great he played, and I'm thinking, man, if Josh missed that throw to Flowers in the back of the end zone, and then he throws the one that's so high that likely can't come down with it in bounds, he is crucified by the national media.
Oh.
And it's just, the comparison is, it just, I know there's nothing we can do about it. It just doesn't seem like it's an even comparison at all, the way that they handle those things.
I just don't agree at all. I mean, as somebody that's cared a lot since he was in college about Lamar Jackson's career, I would much sooner get to the absolute opposite opinion. He did play a great game. It's true. It's fair enough. It's fair to a point what happened on those late plays, but I don't know. I'm so tired of this one. It's just like every offseason you hear Bills fans talk about how Allen is unfairly treated. This year, 11 players, parentheses 11, called him overrated in a survey, which, I mean, of course, A, they have no interest in necessarily being right. B, it has to be a quarterback. C, 90% of people who follow and talk about football equate playoff losses, playoff losing to, you know, individual failure. All these different reasons to think, of course, I mean, who was second? Jalen Hurts. Like, Tua. Of course, it's going to be highly paid quarterbacks who get lots of attention and are very famous and really good. But, you know, I guess, and let me just take this survey over here and write this down for 2 seconds, not as good as people say. And that's an outrage. I just can't.
Yeah. Dennis, I appreciate you. I certainly recognize you as a somewhat regular caller. I would predict, I don't know this for sure, but I'll bet lots of Baltimore Ravens fans feel the same way about Jackson, not necessarily compared to Allen, but maybe compared to Mahomes or his other contemporaries. You still hear a lot. And last night, like, he's getting hammered for those missed throws, I think. Maybe not by Damian Woody and Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter after the game, but I think there's plenty of criticism to go around for him missing those throws. But he also did. I mean, he was the only thing they had going last night. They didn't run the ball. He ran the ball, but they didn't run the ball. And so, I don't know, man. I think it's a tough standard, and I think the market you're in, you often will feel like your guy gets the short end of it all the time. But I think objectively, Jackson, he's won the MVP twice, and maybe that affords him some more of a shield, I think, nationally speaking.
I think it's the other way.
But I think he gets hammered. I think, you know, he can't throw from the pocket and all this sort of stuff that I don't think is provably true, but
I think
you hear it.
I think the MVPs open him up to even further scrutiny. I mean, there was a good case last year that Allen deserved it over him, but his team didn't win as many games. And whoever wins the MVP is usually on the team that wins the most games. So he ran away with it. And now he has two. And lots of people would tell you, geez, I mean, I think I want more.
I think this is exactly right. It definitely is true of me, because I'm right with you on Jackson from college, right through the draft process, loved him as a prospect, have kind of been rooting for him. I know he plays for a team that's, you know, can be a problem for the Bills, but, like, generally speaking, I like him and admire his game. That second MVP has me watching him, wanting to pick him apart more fiercely than ever.
Right, and that's normal. Like, that's what we would all do. Like, just now he's one of, I think it's 4 players in history to have won 2 MVPs and not be in the Hall of Fame. Of course, he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame if he's in his 20s and still active. Same with Mahomes. Rodgers and Brady are the others. Like, that's a Hall of Fame ticket. Oh, wow, are we sure? Like, is he that good? What about the playoffs? Lamar Jackson, and he's just one example. Here's Dennis, like, oh my God, it would be incredible if Allen had made that throw and everybody would crush him. Lamar Jackson is blamed for the Ravens not winning in the playoffs. Allen is never blamed for it. I shouldn't say never, because you're going to point me to some guy on the internet who does it. But, you know, not to the same extent at all. I think I can say that, you know, objectively. So, well, what is this again?
Yeah,
now, Allen is the one who's more harshly criticized. Jackson is blamed for their not having made a Super Bowl yet. Allen is hardly ever blamed for that.
The only piece I would push back on that being, it's very strong, is that Allen gets criticized for the turnovers and people don't realize that he hardly ever turns it over in the playoffs. Like so he gets pinned. Oh, you know, you can't trust him with the ball. You falling flat in the playoffs. His playoffs, he's got like one interception in the playoffs or something. Like, he's got preposterously good numbers taking care of the ball specifically in the playoffs. But because he's led the league in turnovers a couple of times, that sort of gets carried into the criticism of the Bills and him in the playoffs. And I don't think that's fair.
Well, fair enough. I mean, that's also something I don't know about Dennis or anybody else, but you'd want to be right, right? Like that would be the goal, would to be fair and right about that. And what you're saying is correct. So that shouldn't land on Allen. If it does.
I think it does. Yeah. I mean,
it shouldn't.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. The point that you hear that we just had brought up here is that, like, it's completely one way. And if anything, it's close.
Mm-hmm.
If anything. And I think it's in, you know, it depends on what you're listening for. And if you like one guy and he plays for your team, you're going to hear it differently than someone who doesn't care about him. That's just kind of human nature. Coming up at 4, Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. What do we do with Isaiah Likely in week 2? For one thing, not too many people are drafting anymore as the season has started, but we can talk lineups and we will with Ian. Sal Capaccio joins us at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR. Welcome back, Football Friday. Ian Harditz at 4. It's almost 4. Russell Wilson has a calf injury. The Steelers are calling him questionable for Sunday's game, week 1 at Atlanta. Interesting development.
Mm-hmm.
If you were Atlanta, you know we play the game where, like, for all these years, it's the argument is settled. It's not even interesting anymore. But once in a while, you find somebody who likes to punt. You know, it's usually a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of we figured it out that a lot of these situations where we grew up thinking punting was the right move, we now understand why it isn't. And one method to try to sort of persuade people and help them understand this was always, what would you want to have happen if you were the other team?
Right. Do I want you to go? Am I scared of you going for it? Am I afraid if you go for it here that you're going to keep the ball? Yeah.
If I'm on defense.
That's guttalytics, I like to call that.
If you have 4th and 1 on my 45 and you roll the punter out, I am trying to suppress laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you'll take a delay of game penalty trying to draw me offside. And then I'm just bent over laughing.
And then kick it out of the end zone.
And then kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
If you're Atlanta, who would you rather face, Wilson or Fields? Wilson, I think, it would just be so easy. You know, maybe he hits a couple of moon balls or whatever. Maybe he turns back the clock and on a team kind of bereft of receiving talent, he's actually good. I doubt it. Fields can beat you anyway. Like, he's not going to be better at
the throwing part,
Russell Wilson.
Right.
But he can beat you anyway.
Yeah.
So I would be, I don't want to say nervous, but for me, this is bad news for Atlanta.
I think Fields is terrible. I do think there is a ceiling where, yes, explosiveness, rushing, but I don't know, man. Like down in, down out, I feel like that dude is going to just hang on to the ball and try to run. And he'll make his plays, but I just do not think that that's a recipe for winning. And so... I don't know. I guess I see what you're saying. There's definitely room for it. If I were into the Falcons, though, I'd feel like it's almost a wash. You are not going to beat me throwing it. I doubt you're going to really beat me throwing it with Russell Wilson, frankly. But
You're definitely not going to with that guy. I don't think. Maybe he'll have his moments. Maybe the light will go on. I don't know. But I see a guy who just does not see it when he's back there. Just doesn't see it. Don't know where to, like, first read. Ah! That's Justin Fields.
I also think, and the Falcons would know this, with Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, they're going to want to run the ball all the time anyway. Like, Wilson was going to be capped anyway, partly because he's not better. But, and that was true with the Falcons last year, too. So it should still be a run-oriented game plan from the Steelers. The Falcons have added Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. All the more reason for Pittsburgh to want to be conservative in this game. And, okay, like, if I'm going to throw 20 passes, but I'm going to run 15 times and hand the ball to Najee Harris 20 times and Jaylen Warren 10, then I think that's kind of what they want to do. Either way, and Wilson just always outranked Fields. You know, like, Fields would have had to have been really good to beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it just had to be this. He gets hurt. How does a calf injury to an old quarterback going into week one sound?
Sounds like Joe Burrow. I mean, worse. Who wasn't old? Yeah, it's worse because he's old. And this has been lingering since training camp started. Right? Didn't he begin training camp with, like, he heard it pushing a sled or something stupid?
Yes.
Like, why is your quarterback pushing sleds in the first place? Did you tell him to do that? Did he just decide he wanted to be one of the guys? Let's ride. I can push a sled because I'm whatever. So, yeah, it's already been lingering for more than a month. And here we are, questionable now with the same injury. That's not a good sign for someone his age.
It's interesting, and it's interesting from a fantasy perspective, because if Fields does start, which I expect, he would move way up. Like, he might move ahead of Cousins, at least in rankings for this week, because, you know, you saw Jackson does so much more, but, like, Jackson just put down 122 rushing yards in the game. Like, we want this from Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Fields was a top-ranking quarterback last year, and here, you know, you're saying he can't throw the ball. He still was in fantasy. Yep. So I think he might have gone – he probably went undrafted in most fantasy drafts, like home leagues, because he was a backup. In the high-stakes world, always, like all summer, he would go before Wilson, even though Wilson was going to start, because Fields has that upside. So he's interesting in that context, too. We'll talk to Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life at the top of the hour. Sal Capaccio joins us at 5-803-0550. Is the number. It is week one. It is Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.